La maudite des vieux chauds.
I have seen the dark shadows moving in the woods, and I have no doubt that whatever I have resurrected through this book is sure to come calling for me.
David, you look absolutely terrific, honestly. You've got like glue on.
This is where the worst begins. This is where we must stop. For beyond is the work of madness. The nightmare of insane murder and lingering death. Get inside and lock your doors. Close your windows. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death.
This is Albert from the Tuesday Show. You're listening to the goddamn Dave Hill Show, now on a flipping Monday.
You're an angel witch. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey. Are you guys there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
It seems like you're not. I can't hear you guys.
I'm just reveling.
It's Dave. What's that?
I'm just reveling in the fact that Chris and I don't have to say you're an angel witch tonight.
Yeah.
It's good to have you back, Dave.
I'm back. Thank you. I'm back and worse than ever. I have COVID again.
No.
Yes.
You're the third friend of mine today, if I make go so far as to call you a friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, don't push it.
I mean, I'm not going to ask you to pick me up at the airport. Don't worry. But
I would pick you up at the airport.
All right, I'll file that away. You're the third person.
I would. I would do anything in my capacity to help you.
I appreciate that, Dave.
I don't have a car, though. To interest full disclosure.
Good to know. Sorry to hear you're COVID positive.
Yeah. And I would describe it as a negative experience. Thank you. Yeah, I went to Copenhagen, which is in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there thinking, oh, I'm boosted. I've had COVID. What are the chances? And then on the plane ride home, I started feeling sick.
Uh-oh.
And I was blaming it fully on the baby that coughed on my head.
Babies suck.
Pretty much nonstop during the whole, from Copenhagen to Reykjavik. And then I was, anyway, it's not, I'll probably tell the story on the moth. But yeah, and then the next day I did a COVID test just for funsies. Mm-hmm. And it was what I would describe as negative. And then this past Friday, I was going to have lunch with a 70-year-old friend of mine, a septuagenarian friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still feeling sick. So I thought, hey, I'll test myself just for the heck of it. Just like as an afterthought.
Right. Safety.
And I didn't even I was so sure I didn't have it that I set the test down and forgot I had even taken it.
Yeah.
And then I happened to walk by the table where I'd set it like 5 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that it was positive and I was like, what the fuck?
Man.
And so I did another one, also positive. I was supposed to fly to Cleveland that night, canceled the flight, or moved it, I should say. And yeah, and that's where the story is now. I don't know if it's ready for the moth, but I do hope to tell it on the moth.
How you feeling?
Be frank, he said Dave thought he was pregnant. Did you think you were pregnant, Dave?
I did think I was pregnant. I don't, there's a feeling now, having had COVID twice that I feel like I can pinpoint the feeling.
I knew I had it because I felt exactly the same when I got my first vaccine or second Moderna dose. That's how I knew. I was like, I got it.
Exactly, you got it. You got the razzmatazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. It's like a little scratchiness that's weird that, like, nothing I've ever had before. Like, so, I don't know. I'm not into it because you have to hang out by yourself all the time. And I'm fun for a little while. but, you know, after a while, I'm just like, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Just me.
It's like a bad acid trip, then, is what you're saying.
Basically, yeah. It's like an endless bad acid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I watch some hockey games, rip some guitar solos.
Okay.
Things like that.
You know, you can call it self-care, in a way.
Self-care. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But, you know, it's been hard. I don't know. But I'm almost out of the woods. Probably a couple more days.
Well, that's good. Sorry for the
motorcycle. What was that, a fart? Someone made a fart?
That was a crappy little motorcycle going up the road. Sorry.
Oh, I still think it was Chris. Boy criminal Chris Gersbeck.
No,
Chris is on a different pitch, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't hide it either. I wouldn't deny it.
No, I know this is a sophisticated show by virtue of the fact that we often have sophisticated authors on the show, as we are doing tonight. Mm-hmm. But I feel, Chris, I need to ask, so I can ask both of you guys, do you guys fart in front of your wives?
Yeah.
I would if I had to, but I don't, like, make it a habit.
Yeah, I don't go out of my way, but...
Yeah.
But say, okay... Well, say you're in a room and you need to fart. You feel one coming on. Your wife is also in the room. Do you excuse yourself? Do you make any effort to fart without your wife around? Or do you just let it fly?
Yeah, I mean, there's some degree of that, but...
Depends on the mood of the room, how the day's been going, you know?
Sure. Yeah, what your plans are for the rest of the night. That's a big factor.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. I mean, you know... There's an etiquette.
I know someone who apparently, I heard this from another person, has never farted in front of her husband, and my mind was blown.
I have never farted in front of her husband. No. When I was in college, my dad had an office, and he turned my boyhood bedroom into his office for his legal practice, and he had one of those tape recorder like things.
Yeah,
little tape recorders with little cassettes, and I set it right next to my bed, and I would record each morning's inaugural fart until it was a whole tape of click click. And it just went on for a whole summer. roughly 90 farts.
Why did you do this?
You know, because I could, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I've grown since then slightly as a person. But anyway, my point being...
Yeah.
It's great to be back. COVID or not, we have a glorious, glorious show in store. What did I want to tell you guys about my trip to Copenhagen?
Besides getting COVID, there's other...
Besides getting COVID, there were other hijinks. Takeaway?
How long?
There was other hijinks.
How long were you there?
5 magical days and nights. Wow,
that's just, in one town, that's, you can get pretty comfortable in a couple days.
Yeah, I was worried that it was maybe going to be one day too many, but it was kind of just right. My plan was to not drink very much. That did not go well at all.
How long did that take to fall apart?
As soon as I got there.
You know, you're in another continent altogether. It'd be weird if you didn't drink.
Bill Dolan and his brother. Speaking of picking someone up at the airport, they picked me up at the Copenhagen airport, met me at the airport.
Wait, does Bill live there?
No, his brother does.
This is a great story so far.
Yeah.
So they were like, we're going to come pick you up. And I was like, really? I thought they would just tell me to come to his apartment.
Not Bill Dolan. Bill Dolan will pick you up at the airport. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, so they're there waiting. They're waving a Danish flag and handing me a beer the second I got there.
Yep.
And had a lovely... Then we went to Copenhagen, the heavy metal festival, every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't go the first day. We went to Sweden the first day. We went to Malmö, Sweden, and had some beers with friends out there. It's sort of like going to Jersey City.
I was going to say, you make it sound like going to, you know, crossing a bridge and, you know.
It's pretty much right like there. It's like slightly more complicated than going to Jersey City, but not really.
Okay.
Just, it's about on that level of difficulty.
Gotcha.
So we did that and had some coldies with some friends. I was going to go swimming in the Baltic Sea. A couple of my friends there went in naked, and the Baltic Sea is right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I'm going to go swim in naked in the Baltic Sea. I've been here like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there, and I'm all ready to get naked and go in the Baltic Sea. But there's like underage... There's like young girls,
yeah,
in the water, and I thought,
nope.
The last thing I need is to get arrested for being some sort of pervert in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, like an hour after I got to Europe,
God.
So I came back and I wasn't wet, and my friends were like, "Why aren't you damp?" And I said, "'Cause there was like kids," and they said, "It's Sweden; no one would." Think twice about it. You wouldn't, but anyway.
Still.
You only get one chance to be wrong about that.
It's never the wrong decision to keep your clothes on in that situation.
Yeah. Though I was really, I thought it would be nice to be free with my body like that. But I didn't, yeah, I chose not to. And then, you know, it's, anyway, what else? Yeah, but it was a good time. Saw a bunch of bands, saw some friends.
I saw you were doing ripping solos on stage with Down.
I did. I ripped solos. That's who we went to hang out with in Sweden. They were camped out there at like a campsite in their tour bus. And so, yeah, then we went and saw them the next night. And Metallica was, they were all watching. Well, Kirk Hammett, I didn't see him, but the other guys were all there. Watching, and then at the end of the show they have friends come out and switch instruments and rip some solos, so I came out and ripped some solos, and the bass player from Metallica was there.
Can we watch some of this?
The drummer for Midnight, sure. You have to, the thing to keep in mind, it's light outside, but it's 10 o'clock at night,
right?
And I'm pretty hammered.
So, like, when Metallica is watching, you know, like you say, are they just sort of hanging around like everybody else, or are they like, ooh, Metallica's watching over here?
No, they were just, I mean, like, James Hetfield was standing right next to me. I didn't talk to him, but he was standing right next to me.
Good to see Phil out again.
Yeah. There's like 35,000 people there. You can see them with Metallica bass player, Robert Trujillo, drummer for Midnight. This is the best part.
You just shred them.
Well, because everybody's like, usually everyone just jams for like a really long time. But for whatever, the drummer ended it early, and I was like, "What are you doing? There's 35,000 people.
Just keep going.
Ready to get, you know, just keep going." So everyone stopped. So I was just like, "I'm going to keep going," and I just started ripping a tapping solo.
That's how you do it.
And then Pepper Keenan put his hand over it.
Al Lapland here with breaking news on a revolutionary form of entertainment, professional wrestling. For more, we go to our correspondent, Danielle Radford.
Professional wrestling is the craze that's sweeping the nation, featuring fisticuffs and colorful costumes.
But who can help us make sense of this world of body slams? Lindsay Kelk has the answer.
Sources tell us of an amazing podcast called Tights and Fights, filled with discussions of the absurdity of professional wrestling, plus all the sincerity and hilarity that you could shake a stick at.
Listen to the Tights and Fights podcast every week.
Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
And your old-timey radio.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
So that was the high point of silliness of the trip. And then, but let's focus on, let's live in the now. I'm very excited. We should bring our guests on. We're running a few minutes late. I'm very excited about our guest. She is one of my favorite humans on Earth. I know you think I'm just saying that as a way to tee up our guest tonight, but I really love her more than she'll ever know. I hope she's not listening. I'm horribly embarrassed. But she's an amazing writer. She's hilarious. She's written 3 books that we know of. Iris has Free Time, Dating Tips for the Unemployed, and this is out officially next week, her latest collection. It's called Droll Tales. I'm reading it right now. It's excellent. She has written for all sorts of fine folks. The New Yorker, the New York Times, The Atlantic, Vogue, Bomb, Paris Review Daily, The Baffler, and Best American Travel Writing. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, there she is.
Oh.
The Belle of the Ball.
Hi. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Iris smiles. Thank you for agreeing to be on this wildly popular international number one podcast.
I've heard about it in other languages while I was traveling in other places that are not this one.
Yeah, well
blah, 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 blah. Dave Hill, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's what I love about foreign languages. Yeah. You don't understand what they're saying, and then they say your name, and you're like, oh, that's me.
Yeah.
The first time I was in, if I can just talk about myself some more. The first time I was in Copenhagen, so this is the third time. The first time I went, I was performing, and I was doing something at like the Copenhagen Fancy Library, whatever it's called. It has a cooler name than the Copenhagen Fancy Library. And I had to do that. I had to listen to Danish for a really long time until they said Dave Hill. And it was exhausting because I was like, I was listening for an hour. And then finally they said Dave Hill. And I was like, that's my time to shine. I'm going out there.
And so you perform in English? And they
in English. Everyone, yeah, they speak English totally there. They know what's going on. But speaking of other look, where are you right now? You look like you're in paradise. You have sort of a is that
It's a room.
What is that? Is that a robe? You're in a room and you have pink. Is it chiffon?
It's a gown. It's tulle.
Tulle. Oh, I love tulle.
What to wear. I don't do a lot of podcasts.
That is a perfect podcasting. You know what? I just learned this. There's a difference between, because I was wearing toile, which you know what toile is.
Yes.
Of course, because you're a woman of refinement.
That repetitive pattern.
Yeah, sort of pastoral.
Country village scene or something.
That's exactly right.
With a pail of water, but in a nice, yeah.
That's exactly right. So I was wearing toile, and this woman that was seated at our table kept saying, no, it's pronounced tulle. And I was like, no, it's not. And she kept saying, no, it's tulle. And then I just, to not be combative, I just let her have it, knowing full well that she was wrong. You have tulle on.
I have tulle on.
But I had toile on. They're two different things.
I think that's a classic example of someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, just condescending to someone who does, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Not just...
Wait, who am I in this situation?
What a person who knows what toile is.
Yeah, I knew what toile is, and she was just like, she thought I was some sort of rube, and I was like...
The answer to something like that situation is, a little humility, ma'am.
Yes, I wish I could remember her name, because I would out her right now as some... No. But to be fair, without my glasses on, I struggle. Oh, yeah, it's tulle. Where are you right now?
I'm in East Hampton, Long Island.
East Hampton, that's glamour. No,
it's not the glamorous part. It's the other part.
The rough part, the rough section of town.
There's a street fight happening right outside right now.
Oh no!
Five street fights. Someone got a knife. This five knives.
Is that your main? Do you live there mostly, or are you just out there right now?
I've sort of decamped here for a while. I'm still in New York City, but I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to rent that and stay out here for a little while. I think I'm becoming more country.
I like that. Now, it says also in your, you live in Greece also. It says, I'm just reading the press here.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed about that. Not that I live in Greece, but just that I just write that to make me sound glamorous and interesting.
Well, file under.
In a bio, they always ask you, like, you have to add some, like, where do you live or some personal detail or something. But, I mean, well, I guess I do. My mother's from there, so I live there in the summers. I would be there now were it not for my peddling... My desperate reading of my book here in the States.
Wait, does your mom live there now?
She lives there for part of the year.
Mrs. Smiles?
Mrs. Smiles, yeah.
So we could go visit her? No. I mean, I'm inviting myself to Greece with you, basically.
Well, you know, we can talk plans.
I know, you don't know everything about me or anything, but
I don't know if you're ready to meet my parents.
I mean, I clean up amazingly well.
I mean, I think
amazing. I'd be like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smiles, how lovely to make your acquaintance. Now, did I understand correctly that you summer here in Greece?
And would you do one of those bows and you'd have your little pocket square that you have?
All of this would be happening. All of it. This is, you know, and then I'd be like, hey, Art. Is your dad's name Art?
Yes, Arthur.
Is it really?
Yes. How did you know?
I was just taking a wild stab. I'd say, hey, Art, can you pass the spanakopita?
And then he would pass it.
Yeah, hey.
Is his name really Art?
It's Arthur, yes.
That's so
I was
cool.
Totally, I'm like
sometimes he's called Art.
I have this is my second time with COVID, and I feel like it's giving me clairvoyant qualities.
That's interesting. I didn't develop any clairvoyant qualities my second time with COVID. But
well, you never know. Seeing?
What else? Speak to us.
And then I would be like, hey, Anne, is your mom's name Anne? How close am I?
Poppy.
Poppy, so close. Poppy, I'm just running into town to grab a couple euros. Can I get you anything?
Yes.
No?
And she would say, yes, maybe you could stop at the butcher shop to pick up some lamb.
Yeah, exactly.
Monday. And then you would say, I think you would say, no, you monster. How could you eat those poor little animals?
I wouldn't say it, but I would think it. Yes. I would think it. No, I wouldn't. I don't eat lamb. I stopped eating gyro. I really love it too. So, but you know, we still get through it. It's delicious, but let's focus the book. I should have held it up. It's out July 5th. There it is. Droll Tales. I love the cover, but you know what I love more than the cover? The words on the inside.
I did that.
You did it.
I did those words.
It's like it's touching. It's hilarious. It's weird. It's like, which is same as you, touching, hilarious, and weird. And Tool. No, it's such a wonderful book. I was going to say congratulations on writing a wonderful book, but what I want to say is thank you for writing a wonderful book.
Oh, Dave.
And everyone, I want you to feel the Good Time Hour effect. I want everyone, Chris, do we have a link that we can put there in the chat? I'm going to
put it in the chat right now.
Everyone go order this book now or I'll stab you. Is that too much?
No. Can I quote you on that for the jacket, my next book?
Order
this book right now or I'll stab you. I feel like
I was looking, because you have blurbs from Frederick Tootin.
Tutton, yeah.
Tutton. You say Tootin, I say Tutton. He's a good buddy. You guys hang out a lot.
He's my adopted son.
He's older, but he's your son.
Yes. But you know, it worked out because I'm childless and he's an orphan. And so we both need each other. And now we've created this marvelous family. Also, he's a doctor. The good thing, if you adopt someone who's older, you don't have to worry about education costs because he graduated and got his graduate degree, I think, in like, what, 1945? No, not.
Oh, no. Wow. He's not that old.
60.
He maybe in the 60s. He's not that old.
No, I have trouble with doing math in my head. So, yeah, about 60, maybe. Anyway, the point
is, Iris, we'll get a calculator. We'll make it work. These are all things that I'm going to bring to Greece when we go to Greece.
Yes. What are you going to wear? Oh, the nice suit. Do you think when we go to Greece, I should wear my special Dave Hill shirt that I got in the mail the other day? I'm really.
Oh my gosh, you ordered one of those?
Of course, ordered immediately. It's a very fine cotton, by the way.
Oh, nice. Good.
Comfy.
Yes.
Yeah, I just designed that shirt on a whimsy. Thank you for buying it. That's so nice of you.
Well, thank you for making such a nice shirt. Maybe when we go and meet my parents, you should be wearing a shirt with my face and I should wear a shirt with your face just to, make them nervous.
Well, I think they'll be nervous even without the shirts, but I do like this idea.
Okay.
We
could also get matching suits.
Maybe like seersucker.
Yeah.
Now I have questions. So, do your parents? And this is I'm not gonna, you know, do they own a house there?
They built a house, yes.
The reason I ask is because I'm this, so it would be okay to leave some things there that I can just, so when we go back, I will, they'll just be like, I'll say, hey, hey Art, where did I throw my duffel bag? Do you remember where I put that?
Yeah.
It's got my, my
developed this whole relationship with my parents, but I feel kind of left out where I'm not much in this fantasy. It's just you and my parents hanging out. You're running errands for my mom and my dad.
And I'll be like,
the whole time,
Iris, get inside and clean up for dinner. Can't you see Art and I are having pipe hour right now?
Right. Iris,
that's when we smoke.
Change your other tool dress. That color's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'm like, Art, I love your daughter very much, but sometimes she really gets on my last nerve. And Art will laugh. He'll say, huh, don't I know it? Well, listen, and then we'll stare out at the angry sea for a little while. Is it right on the water?
Yes.
I mean, if you said no, I would still come. I'm not kidding. I'm not like, it's so you can look out, you can see the Mediterranean Sea.
It's on the Aegean side.
I was going to say the Aegean side. I love an Aegean summer. And then...
Have you conquered Greece yet with your performance?
I have not. I was investigating going there right before COVID. I was like, I was going... In March of 2020, I was supposed to do 6 magical nights in Oslo. And then I was like, as long as I'm on the continent, I might as well hit up some other ports of call. So I did talk to someone in Athens about doing a show, but I didn't make it. I've never been to Greece, is my point. But
Greece has been a theme on our show lately. We had a guest from Greece not too long ago.
Oh, I've never been to Greece. Yeah. We're going to go there and I'll be like, Hey, Iris, I'm headed inside. Can I top off your moussaka? Can I get you a little more moussaka while I'm in there? No. Isn't that a Greek?
Moussaka is very filling. So I'm just having trouble imagining that I would want more.
Well, you hardly had any the first time, darling. These are the sort of things. And then, I don't know. I'm trying to think. What's a Greek drink?
We drink a ouzo, but if you're in Athens, but if you're in certain parts of the country, you drink tsipro, which is like ouzo, but it's a slightly different formulation. You drink wine. And then if you're an animal, you just drink anything else.
Well, that's where I come in. Are your parents from Greece?
My mom is, yeah.
Rita.
Yes, my father met her while he was traveling in Greece as a young man. He used to work for Pan American, and he met her, and they began writing letters, and he courted her through the mail for a few years and went back to visit her and then finally, stole her away to America. I mean, she
accepted
to
America, but yeah, so, and
I love that
adventure.
That's amazing. Now, and so your dad is American?
Yeah, he was born here. His father was Greek. Was born in Greece, and his mother was born in then Czechoslovakia.
Oh, wow. And then are you an only child, or do you have siblings?
I have 2 older brothers.
Oh, don't tell me. Danny? Danny Smiles? How close am I?
No.
Arthur Jr.
There you go. Arthur, yes, Arthur Jr.
Wow. And Spenacopita.
And yes, and Smiles. Alexander.
Alexander. I was so close.
Yeah.
Have they read your new book, Droll Tales? See how I do it? See how I do that? Segue. I bring it back to the product.
Well, I just gave it to my father, and you know, he reads slowly and carefully, so he's he is doubtful that he's finished it yet.
Now, in your first two books, the main character is not so coincidentally named Iris.
Yes.
And now in this new book, that's in the past. You're broken off. What made you decide to not have the Iris character continue?
Well, she does appear occasionally in other people's stories, so there is that kind of thread. I like to include some version of myself as just maybe overhearing what's happening. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be left out.
I like that.
But some of the pieces in this book, I actually started writing some of this book before I wrote those Iris books. But I thought that, you know, I kind of got some early encouragement with the Iris books. And I thought, you know, that it would be easier to get published because people want to read about a young woman in the city, and maybe they don't want to read very weird stories. But I don't know. Maybe it seems like I just kind of decided to just continue and do exactly what I want and not think about that. But
yeah,
the other books. It's just a different kind of voice. That's all. It's just an expansion of that. So, and I just allowed myself to do really whatever I, absolutely whatever I wanted. And I think, I don't know, I think we could do with more of that. I think, especially with books, by the way, I mean, no one's reading anyway. So if you're not taking every chance, then what's the point?
That's weirdly, pessimistic.
What's
the word? Realist.
Nihilistic,
maybe.
Realist.
But no, I think that's good. Write like no one's dance like no one's watching, and write it like no one's reading.
Yeah, or poop like no one's watching. I don't understand the dance like no one's watching, because when no one is watching me, I usually just sit down and I think about sad things. And you know, until I'm like activated again by like I have something to do, like a zombie, you know, like it's just lying there until like food comes in, and then they're like, oh,
yeah.
Except it's just like a zombie feeling sad.
Sure.
Yeah, but like I love to dance, but like in front of other people. But soup, eating soup in front of other people. It's something I feel like I went on a date at one point, and the man asked me if I liked miso soup, and I said yes, but I'll die before I eat it in front of you, because like you know you gotta lean in, and then you don't want to bend to it, but you have to lift the spoon, so it's this whole test. It's like a field, you know, that thing in Field Day where you have to carry an egg on a spoon. So you gotta balance the liquid and then somehow get it in your mouth without spilling it everywhere. And it's so much stress that how can you possibly enjoy it? I mean, I'm sweating right now. So that's how I feel. Like when I'm alone, I can really eat soup and enjoy it, but in front of other people. So I don't think that the dance, like, no, I don't know what other people are thinking with their dancing. Either
I would like to take you out for soup.
What?
Well, this is, you know, when we're in Greece, I'll say, hey, Art, Poppy, Iris and I are going to head into town for soup. If we're not back in 4 hours, just wait longer.
But how do you feel about dancing, Dave? I mean,
I'm open to it. I'm not, I would say I'm dangerous at it, but amazing at it.
Dangerous for others or for yourself? Like, are you prone to injury?
Dangerous for the night. No, I'd say, you know, it's probably dangerous for others. The flailing around and stuff.
Oh, I think we should dance together.
Let's dance. We'll dance. We'll have soup.
When we go to Greece, one of the things, when I used to go as a kid, my aunt always played, do you remember the song from like resorts in the 80s? It was called Baby Hands Up. And it was like one of those things where you, it's like pre-Macarena, hands up, baby hands
up. Seems to know it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, yeah. So they always made me play this when I was a kid and I got very angry.
Got a disco beat.
Because I'm not a baby. Anyway, so we're big on the dancing in Greece. We dance all the time. So you will be encouraged to dance after you fetch some more spanakopita or top us up with the feta.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm just going to run in the house for some feta. Art, can I get you any feta while I'm in the house?
Thank you, Dave. I would love some feta.
And then as I'm walking away, I'll hear Art say, I'll tell you, Iris, this guy's a real gent. Real gentleman.
You've really won over my dad.
Yeah.
Dave, you are really good with parents. I think it's a quality.
It is a quality I have.
We're going to have an argument like later in the evening because we're going to be like, all you do is hang out with my parents. You never talk to me. You never hang out with me. When am I going to see you?
I say, damn it, Iris. I said we're going for soup Thursday. That's only 4 days from now.
And then I'll be like, we're having this like private imaginary trip together. I feel bad that we're leaving you out. Do you want to come on our imaginary trip too?
I don't really like flying, but yeah, sure, why not? I'll come.
I don't really like dancing, so you'd probably be best if I didn't get to Greece.
Yeah, it's a mandatory thing. Do they have lobsters in Greece?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, Chris, hey, look, wait a minute. That looks like Chris and Des on the shore there. They just got a bunch of lobsters. Guys, get up here.
I don't like lobster either, though. That's the
thing. Oh, I didn't say they were for you.
We have moussaka. We have spanakopita.
Oh, that sounds good.
I'm allergic to lobster. Just wondering.
Oh, fuck you guys.
Well, what about octopus? Do you know how they kill an octopus? It's really quite barbaric.
Yeah.
They just take it and they just bash it with rocks like repeatedly until it's ready.
Dead. I stopped eating octopus because it's too smart.
I know. I never started eating octopus.
Yeah.
I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. But
don't you ever worry about like the suckers grabbing onto your throat as it's going down and then you got a whole situation going on in there?
I do. I worry about calamari or anything that's somewhat rubbery reassembling itself inside my stomach.
It's a legitimate concern.
Absolutely valid.
That never degrade. They just come back like in the Terminator 2 when he just like comes back.
Yeah.
Isn't that we're not all worried about.
No, that's a valid calamari. Concern.
Yeah, I'm there.
The stats, this checks out.
Is it, if it's breaded, I'll eat it because maybe the breading might sort of interfere with the regeneration process.
You raise a good point.
So there's that.
I mean, I'll eat it, but I just know something horrible is happening in there.
Like, with concern,
populated by all of these calamari.
Sure. Yeah.
Activated at any moment.
I hear you. These are, you know, I'm with you. I'm picking up some fried calamari is actually pig anus. Parentheses, true story.
But what about, is any pig anus that they're ripping me off and it's actually something else?
Isn't that like tripe?
Tripe is like intestines, I think.
Isn't intestines? I thought tripe intestines, is the okay. Stomach.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I ordered tripe once just to freak out my in-laws, and it worked beautifully. Uh-huh. It was horrible, and I really had to commit to it, and it went badly.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
No one wins with tripe.
It's.
I kind of did a little bit. in a certain sort of weird way.
So you have yourself just to have the little moment of
just so they now they never know what I might quite get up to the next time I show up.
I'll show you.
One of the time Des ordered tripe. Yeah, I'm a wild card like that.
I'll show you, you sons of bitches. Let's focus, though. Everyone, if you have not ordered Iris's book, Droll Tales, Iris Smiles, it's her third book. Frederick Tutton, her son. Is it Tutton?
Yes.
I know. I just wanted to hear you say
it's Tutton.
It's Tutton.
Tutton.
A Book of Wonders. Brilliant, he says. No less than John Patrick Shanley. Is that the bishop?
He's the guy who wrote and directed Joe versus the Volcano, which is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Okay. Know him from Moonstruck and Doubt. Because, you know, some people didn't like Joe versus the Volcano, but I think those people are wrong.
So, oh, yeah. Okay. That was, it's an underrated Tom Hanks work.
I saw that in the theater. I was like 6 years old, and I loved it.
Really?
You saw
I love it.
Good time.
Roz Chast, Patricia Marks, all these people are saying all these wonderful things. And now I'm blurbing the fourth book. Buy this book or I'll stab you.
Yes.
Droll Tales. How much of this book, it's ostensibly fiction, am I right?
Yes.
Are there bits in here that are autobiographical that you've snuck in?
It's inspired by...
Don't lie to me, Iris.
No, I mean, so there are things that you might not guess that, like, there's a scene where a character is belly dancing on a cruise on the Nile. And I did do that when I was 10 years old. But it's in a different context. This is like an adult woman. But I was sort of like that kind of inspired this belly dancing on the Nile thing.
I'm a really
good belly dancer.
Well,
there was this tour. We were taking a tour with my family, and there was this kind of middle-aged tour guide that I developed a crush on.
And Randy.
He kept flirting with this. There was one lone traveler in our group, like this single middle-aged woman, probably like my age now. And everyone else was like, you know, families or couples.
You're not middle-aged.
Well, I mean, an adult. Anyway, she was an adult woman traveling alone. And so I felt I had this special rapport with the tour guide, but then kind of she kept flirting with him and I became jealous. So when I came out with my dance, because I did study in dancing school, so I knew once I do this dance, once I enter the dining room, whatever they call that in a boat, with my
galley,
and I'm moving my hips, and I'm like, I was 10, right? I was like, he's going to be so impressed. He's going to forget all about her.
You're a seductress, even at 10.
Well, you know, I think it's funny. As a kid, do you remember being little and you had a crush on someone older and you kind of didn't see how it was inappropriate? You're just like, I just like this person. And, you know, so I really liked the guy. And I was, but the funny thing is I think I was jealous of this woman. And now I'm that single woman alone. You know, I would be her, that single woman alone on the cruise ship, because I frequently do travel by myself. So looking back, sort of like this whole circle, I'm just competing with myself for this.
You'll never travel to Greece alone again, Iris.
No?
Never again. I remember that. Yeah, when I was a kid, I think pretty much any situation when I was a kid, I would try to draw full attention to myself. I mean, I still, even now I do that in my adult life.
What were some of your techniques as a kid?
I would do an impression of Jimmy Walker from Good Times.
Oh.
That was pretty much the age of until the age of about 8, I would do that.
Can you still do it?
Dynamite!
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. I would do that.
You've got something.
I'm a talent. You know, people, they try to put me in a box, and then they're like, well, there's no way he can do an amazing Jimmy Walker impression.
I thought you were going to say there's no way he'll get out of that box now.
He's in the Jimmy Walker impression box.
Oh.
We can't go on a Jimmy Walker detour right now.
Save it for Greece. Save it for my parents that want to hear this.
I know. Art, did I ever tell you about the time I met Jimmy Walker? From Good Times.
Really?
I shouldn't say I met him. I went to see him do stand-up and then, like, got his autograph after. It was a long time. It was in the 90s.
Yeah, that counts. You met him.
I guess so, but it wasn't like, Jimmy, I'm Dave.
Could have.
Nice to meet you, Dave. Not in the way that I'll say, Art smiles. It's great. Great to be here. Poppy, can I freshen your drink? I mean, that's the voice I'm going to talk in. When we're at the house.
Make me feel very safe, Dave.
It's the voice of a sophisticate. And then you'll walk in from the house, you'll walk out on the terrace, and I'm like, damn it, not now, Iris. I'm in the middle of a story. And then they'll be like, "What? He seems a little abusive. Damn it.
It's my fault. I make him angry.
Damn it, not now, Iris.
I really
like Dave has to keep hydrated to battle the COVID.
I know I do have to keep hydrated. I have a question about writing, not just limited to your most recent book, Droll Tales, which is out July 5th. Everyone get it, or I'll stab you. When you're writing, I ask this as a fellow writer. I'm talking in my voice that I normally reserve for Greece. Do you feel good about writing, or when you finish your writing for the day, do you feel great shame in the way that I do every day?
You feel great shame after writing, or just every day?
For something, I view most days as a failure. I'm like, well, I really blew that one. Like today, I did my writing for today, and at the end of it, I thought, "Welp, there's another few thousand words worth of garbage." Do you do that, or do you say, "Hey, I did all right today"?
Well, it varies. I mean, sometimes I feel good about it. If I'm moving along and if I'm able to sort of keep my emotional balance and I think, oh, okay, if I don't start to judge it too much, often what happens, like with some of these, I'm told some of my most successful stories, immediately after writing them, I became so depressed, and they're quite long. They're almost like novelettes. I became quite depressed and had to lie down and then put it away for a while, and I thought, okay, well, that was a waste of 40 pages. I guess I'll try something else. And so fleeing from that work disaster, I'll start working on another piece. And then after I reach a point where I'm sure that this new piece is horrible, then I think, why don't I look at that old thing? And then often I discover, oh, that's not actually so bad. There's some interesting things in there, and I maybe see some ways to move forward. So I also revise successively, but I enjoy when I'm writing, but sometimes depending, I can easily become overly overly critical to the point where I would, and sometimes delete everything. I mean, so critical that it's really destructive. I think it's difficult to find the balance of kind of faith in this hazy thing you're seeing and hearing and trying to bring it to life, and also having, you know, the proper amount of self-doubt to be critical and make it better, but not so much that you can't do anything. Is that too an involved an answer?
No, that's a great answer. That's exactly what I was wondering.
See, there's my self-critical. I'm like, fuck, that answer sucked.
It was an excellent answer, but that's what I was sort of wondering about, just creatively. It's always interesting talking to artists in various mediums. You know, what level of suffering and self-loathing they undergo.
Yeah, the self-loathing is actually, but sometimes I feel worse if I'm not writing. Then I just feel like, who am I? What am I for? What's the point of all this? But sort of daily writing, that I feel like I don't know. It's at least, you know, if you write something, even if it's terrible, then you have the opportunity to make it better. But if you're not even, that thought helps, that you can always get better as long as you're actually doing it. And so it doesn't.
Yeah, totally. Though now I'm looking in the comments, someone named Fellaheen wrote, I've read Dave's stuff. He doesn't delete anything. And for that, I have to say, hey, Fellaheen, fuck you. Go fuck yourself. Anyway, but that's fine. Anyway, we're just about out of time. Not because of what that person said, mean thing they said.
And the wrong thing. I've read your books, and I'm a great fan.
Oh, thanks. I'm too far along to let
Mr. Fellaheen get under your skin.
I just don't give a shit about anything, so I don't care. What is that emoji?
He responded with an emoji of a guy laughing.
Oh.
He's laughing at you, I think.
Is that the OxiClean guy?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just doing facial hair.
Billy
Paul? No, that's Mays? The Billy May something.
Oh, I don't know who it is.
Perhaps. I'll further research it.
We can't worry about it. Well, I stress once again to everybody, Droll Tales by Iris Smalls. It's excellent. It's on now. Dave versus whatever that person's name is. I digress. Droll Tales out next week.
You can pre-order it.
You can pre-order it now wherever you get incredible books. I'm gonna call it now. It's my number one fiction read of summer 2022. Whether you're on a beach in Greece or in a windowless van on Staten Island, it's the perfect summer read. It's also great for all the other seasons out there today. Buy it now, or I'll stab you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Iris, for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, guys. This is really fun.
Thank you, boy criminal Chris Gersbeck.
Thank you.
Thank you, New Jersey Chicken Rancher, Dez.
Of course.
Thank you to everyone watching the live stream and to everyone listening in the futuristic podcast format. If you would like to support this program, go to MaximumFun.org/join. I'm Dave Hill. I've had COVID 17 times.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.